Weiter. Okay, we are in the Mishnah. Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, the third wide line. Hakareshes v'hashaita v'hasuma. A woman that is, at this point, will just translate it as deaf. The Gemara is going to discuss whether it's deaf or deaf-mute, because cheresh has two meanings. It means deaf-mute, and it means deaf. But I'm just going to translate it as deaf and be neutral. Hakareshes v'hashaita, and a lady that is mentally deranged, v'hasuma, and a woman that is blind, u'shenitra v'daita, and her mind is not working, and the Gemara is going to say, what is the difference between shaita and nitra v'daita? The Gemara will ask, so we'll let the Gemara do its thing. Im yeshlan pikkais, if they have women who are regular, pikkais doesn't have to mean smart here, it means regular, healthy women, m'saknasaisam, they can check them. So this, let's pick Shaita, okay, but that's going to be the easiest one to work with. Shaita can't take care of herself. She's mentally deranged. If every morning and every evening the pikkais come and check them to make sure they're tahar, so they can eat breakfast of truma cereal and eat supper of truma cake or whatever else, because they are tahar, there's no reason that a woman that's tahara cannot eat truma. But they have to check themselves, so they are checked by others. Yes.
Those people who are dementia are also by the elderly.
Obviously, we're talking about people that are not menopausal, not postmenopausal, they're premenopausal, and therefore it can be shaita, unfortunately, anyway. So the Mishnah is not talking about most shaita, it's just saying shaita. What? It doesn't say that here. It says that by Tanais, who don't see. These women do see. So I don't know if we would rely on the shaman there. I don't know. If Yehuda said it by Kanarai Shloyhigiyas Manamurais, I believe he said it by. Or maybe he said it by Higiyas Manamurais, I don't remember. But it was only Kanarai he talked about. That's what he was talking about. Zakrashi, Misakna Saisam, Boitka Saisam, and Matvila Saisam. They have to do the Medikas, and when they are Nidas, have to make sure that they take care, that they travel correctly.
So
to come right to Chareshes,
he is him. Says this real quick, but how about regards to having relations?
If a shaita can't have marriage, unless she was married before she was a shaita. Meaning you can't marry a shaita. One cannot marry a shaita because she's not typhus. However, if they were married to a woman and then she became a shaita, then they are married to her and they can have relationship. Do they have to check before the relationship? I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer. Would somebody have to show up before the relationship and after the relationship? Something tells me not, but I'll probably be guessing wildly. Why can't the Chareshes check herself? The Tanya, Amar Rebbe, Chareshes Haisa B'Shkun HaSeinu. Rebbe says a story. We had a Chareshes in our neighborhood. Not only did she check herself, she was a Baki in Dam. People showed her their Bedika cloth to see if it's Tamei or Tahar. She was learned enough to know what's good and what's bad. And this is a Chareshes. And for the Gemara, Hasam Medaberes Reina Shamas, Hachin Sheina Medaberes Reina Shamas. There it's talking about a woman that speaks and doesn't hear. And here it's talking about a woman that's a deaf mute. Now, I'm going to say Rashi, and I'll mention the Machlokes that exist currently, and I'll leave it at that. With no further spending time on it. And that is, Rashi learns that if the woman speaks and doesn't hear, that means she once upon a time heard. Because she would not be able to speak without being able to have once heard. Therefore, Dr. Rashi, if she's a shamas, that means her brain functioned, was a functional brain with responsibility and everything else that a regular human being that's not deaf has. And deafness does not make her incapable. However, a woman that never heard and never spoke, it's considered by Chazal to be a impossible to take responsibility, cannot be trusted to take responsibility on anything. Therefore, we can't trust her to do bedikas or to do anything else as well. Now, here comes the machlokes. In the times of the Gemara, a woman that didn't hear and didn't speak was almost impossible to communicate with because she never learned how to speak. and therefore had no knowledge of words, was very hard to communicate with, if at all possible. Therefore, Chazal considered her a la bar das. She couldn't be relied on because she didn't know how to function in the world because she was incommunicative, if that's the right word. However, since then, modern technology and medicine has developed ways to communicate with Rachmana Litzlan, a woman that's deaf-mute. Does that change the halacha or not? So this happens to be a major machloikus achroinim contemporary. Halacha l'maisa, I don't know. I'm not paskining. But there's a big machloikus. There are those that say that since today they can communicate, especially Rashi keeps on saying throughout Shas, that the reason they're not bardas is they never learned how to speak, but now they can learn how to speak. So are they different than the woman that can't hear and can speak? So this is a big machlokes. Rav Shlomo Zalman has his shita. Again, there's a big machlokes here. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds that a woman that can't hear and can't speak, obviously something is miswired in the brain, and therefore she's not a bardas. Chazal were saying this miswiring causes her not to be a bardas, even if today she can learn how to speak. So Mazalman held it didn't make any difference. Because I was saying that if the wiring is not there, naturally, it's an alibi. That's his sheet. Others argue. I'm leaving it at that, and that's where we're going to leave it.
I'm sorry.
I can't hear you.
Chaim Kanevsky spent a long time showing us that Chazal were very, very competent in medicine.
Again, I can only say the fact is, this. I'm just telling you, it's a machloikus. I'm sorry, again, they could not teach it then.
Right.
That's a fact. And I'm not saying because they were incompetent, this wasn't done. Till Helen Keller, a deaf mute, never learned how to speak. Helen Keller was the first one that they taught, supposedly, according to my history book, that might be totally false, right? Helen Keller was taught how to speak even though she was a deaf mute. And since then,
and blind.
And since then, there's been a lot of progress in that area. There's an Achlan that writes in his thing. He said those words, and he was a Chosh of Achlan, so before anybody throws anything at him, be very careful. He said that if Chazal walked in Vienna, where he went to visit the home of the deaf and the mute, he doesn't know, he said, if they would have considered them Eina Ben Das. That's what he said. Now, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. He says it makes no difference how much progress they make. They're impossible to be a Balei Das, because this is Rav Shlomo Zalman. He has a tshuva in Milchus Shlomo. Anybody that's interested can look it up. I'm not going to sit here and argue this, because, as I said before, I'm not going there.
In response to the Bible question, as you said the second time, it actually has nothing to do with science and technology. It has to do with teaching.
But they didn't do it. It's a fact. They didn't teach people how to speak when they were deaf mute. Yeah. Now, could they have? I don't know. I wasn't there. But Rashi says they didn't teach.
People had done various things for Helen Keller. Because the person who taught Helen Keller, his name
slipped
in my mind.
I once upon a time do it also. But you get to my age, you forget these things. Yeah.
I got there a while ago. she was working on
She knew which dam is tami tari. And remember, in those days, not every red was tami. So she knew the difference in the shades of red. She must have heard and learned how to speak. And then she became deaf mute. Deaf. What? When that happened historically? I don't know. But I know it happened. That's all I know. There are people that look at red maris as even dam maka. There are people that can tell you this is not dam vida, it's dam maka. But the Gemara talks about shades of red and dam vida. We don't do that anymore. Not in the Gaya. It made life simpler for Rabbanim, but more difficult for women, because red is red, and the rabbi would just say, I can't help you, finish. But And that's what we rely on. We don't try to start this again. We'll learn, there's a whole Sephardic Frederick that's going to deal with Maris. So when we get there, we'll worry about it. Become welcome. Lohitzi Michal Ben Das, not considered a Ben Das. Something my writer Shenitra of Suma, Iutim Dignasha, the Tasa Lukaverta. A Suma is capable of checking herself. She's totally 100% a Balas Das. She can't look at it because she's Karachmana Lutzman is blind. But she can look at, she can make the Bdika. Why do her friends have to check her? I'm Rabbi Yaiti Bechanin, a Suma in the Mishnah. Take it out. You're right. The Mishnah that says other sector are not necessary by a blind person. Blind person can do the check. They can't look at it and see if it's red. So they don't have to have anybody check her. So therefore, Rabbi Yaiti says, take it out. No Rashi. Zakta Gemara Vaita Shanitra Vadaita. Frankta Gemara Haini Shaita. What is the difference between a Shaita and a Nitra Vadaita? And for the Gemara, Shanitra Vadaita Machmas Chayli. It is an illness that caused it, not it was a natural shaita. There's a shaita, and there's a shaita that develops because of illness. Two different kinds of shaita. Now, I want to speak something out. And again, I want to limit this because these are discussions that can go on and on and on. There's a shuvah some cipher. A shaita does not mean what we would call mentally challenged, weak mind. That's not a shaita. The Gemara in Chagiga, when it discusses shaita, talks about deranged, which means they can be a college professor, they can be a very bright person, not in any way mentally challenged as far as ability to think, but they're crazy. They do crazy things. They sleep in a Beis HaKvaris. You give them a $100 bill, they decide to rip it. They're crazy. But when you ask them a question of physics, they might know better than you. I mean, for sure better than me, right? But better than anybody else. They can be brilliant, but crazy. That's what a shaita is. That's why I use the word deranged. A person that's mentally challenged, which means they don't have the capacity. If some cipher calls them cheresh, not shaita. He says they can't deal with the world. They're not shaitim that are mentally deranged. They're not deranged. They do everything as far as they can in a normal way. It's just that they're limited mentally. The Chasam Sofer refers to them as cheresh. It's not kamina regarding whether the kedushin drabanon works. A cheresh can have a kedushin drabanon. A shaita cannot. Ein adam doim nachash mekvifa achas. A shaita, you can't live with a snake. Rabbanon didn't make kedushin for a shaita because he's a snake. You can't predict her. She's unpredictable. You can't live that way. But that's a deranged person, not a mentally challenged person. So when we talk about shaita and nitra v'daita matan schayli, we're not talking a person that is suffering from a weak mind, aging, v'hulu v'hulu. That is not a shaita. That is more like a cheresh. Whereas a shaita is the people that do deranged things. They rip things, ma'abit ma'asin naistim lai, sleeps in a beis hakvar. The Gemara has a whole bunch of simani shaita. That's what it is, yes.
In terms of illness, does this imply at all that it's something which if the person can't recover from?
I don't know. I don't know.
A major part of
can you do me a favor, Faito? There's a box on this forum. I just noticed it. I'm sorry. Just take it off. I don't care where it is. It's a swarm in there? Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. So, sorry, I thought it was an empty box. What paper is it? Oh, yeah, fine. I'm sure it is. Great. That's not my point. I thought it was an empty box.
Yeah.
I was not making a macho against the paper. I hear it. Now, I will say the following. People that develop Alzheimer's and get to a certain point that they really don't know what's happening are considered shaitim in halacha. It's a geya. One of the time it happens, people that don't know Yom Kippur and they want to eat. They don't know it's Yom Kippur. They're not capable of processing. They don't have to fast. Or, it's a geya. I know one place it was a geya, putting a person in a place where they might serve and trade for food. And they're holding at that point. So there it becomes a shayla. The Sanhedrin is very strong not to put a shayta in a geisha place where they feed him treif. Even though they might improve his situation, he said, Mutzis fi a shayta kol yamav, and he shouldn't eat treif. That's the Sanhedrin, even though he's not mitzvah. But that's Shuvah's Sanhedrin. But a person that's on that madrega of Alzheimer's, that they don't know what's happening, halacha today, contemporary halacha treats him like shayta. Yes.
We actually run into a big problem in Alzheimer's units, which is people are sexually active even after they become quite sick. And so you see, I mean, there was someone, a case where a man was, which is unusual for a man to be in a dementia unit, man was in a dementia unit, and a woman pursued him, and they had relations. Each other. The wife says, you know, don't worry about it. He's not really my husband anymore.
We're not getting halacha gerushin now, right?
What?
We're not getting it hookah gerushin. We're not learning hookah gerushin now.
So that would be the question. Was there
a marriage? No, it's not an older marriage, no.
What about if her husband was a kind?
No difference. I mean, never, because it's a shaitan. Not believe the mitzvahs, but that's it.
But a woman who's raped is
She becomes out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Fact is a fact. Okay, don't think of my advice, Kurtz. Tana Rabbana. Kayin Shaita, Mabilin Isai, you can take him to the mikvah, Umachilin Isai, Truma La'erev. Umashamrin Isai, Shlo Yashan. And they make sure he doesn't go to sleep from when he goes to the mikvah till he eats Truma. Yashin Tameh, once he goes to sleep, we don't know if he became a Baal Keri. There might have been a drop of Keri that came out during his sleep, and therefore we can't let him eat Truma. Lo Yashin Tar, because there's no reason to assume that while he's up, he's seeing Keri. Rashi, Lo Yashin Kadesh Lo Yishamim V'yira, his body shouldn't heat up, and he'll see Keri. Reb Lezer, Reb Tzadok Haimer, Oysen LeKishalayer, they make a pouch of leather, and that the covers are trashy. When they ever want to feed him truma, give the kubba kiss. They'll check that pouch to see whether there's a drop of carry in it. And if not, he can eat truma. Amrulai, Adaraba. What you're causing it is to warm up his body because the kiss around his male organ will cause it to emit carry. Dr. Gemara, Amrulahem. The Devrechem, Shaita Eilu Takana. So then you're leaving a Shaita without any possibility of a Takana. Which means they're saying, I mean, how can you do this to this person that he shouldn't be able to eat Truma when we have this solution which might cause something wrong, but chances are it won't. Amrulai, they told him, the Devrechem, Yashin Tam, Amrulai Yashin Tar. You're right. We have no solution once he sleeps. He would have to go to the mikvah again and wait till sunset. You know, this is the problem. Here's the shaita. He would have to go to the mikvah, but he's still tvo yai. So he can't eat truma till sunset. So he can eat truma from sunset till bedtime. That would be his allowance. Once he goes to bed, to sleep, he would not be able to eat truma the next day. Again, he would have to tivo on a suffix and wait till sunset. And then Rabbanan said, that's not, you know, we have to do something for him. The Tverecha, Rav Lezer tells them, Rav Lezer Betzani tells them, Shemi Yibatira Kachardo Betim Lubakis. It might get absorbed. And therefore, your solution is not even good. Because you can't really check. Because how do you know it's still there? It might have gotten absorbed. That's the end of the conversation. Rashi, Betim Lubakis. Yes, let me just finish Rashi. Betim Lubakis.
Is the Kohen higher than Truma or just permitted to eat Truma?
Permitted.
So it's a financial thing, so that's why they need him to do it.
They would like him to do it. It saves a lot of money because Truma is cheap. Because since there's a limited market, Truma is cheap.
And it's donated, correct? I mean, they haven't paid for it, have they?
Even when it's sold, let's say a client has a lot of it, he sells it, there's a limited market of who can buy it. Zakti Gemara Vayta. Tana Mishum Rabbi Lazar Amru. Rabbi Lazar is not Rabbi Lazar Ben Tzadik. He's a different Tana. Eisen Lekisho Matchas. Make him a metal pouch. Amrabaya Bishon Lechayshas. You make it copper, which is, doesn't absorb. That's what the Gemara says. I never tested it. To me, the Gemara is fine. Lechayshas doesn't absorb. There's a tiny Rebudaiper. Ryan Isaac Gevaylin Shem Ezaiv Kilu Heishon Lechayshas. That is talking about when they needed hyssop to put into the water of the Paraduma, right? And it has to have enough to sprinkle on. You have to have enough water there, enough to sprinkle. The question is, the azoib absorbs. The hyssop absorbs. So how do you know if it's enough or not enough? So Rabbi Yehuda says, halachically, we view the azoib if it's nechayshus, which means we don't take into account the absorption of the azoib. You have to have enough water there, I think that's what he's saying. You have to have enough water there that it does without absorption. So we make believe it's copper. Why did he pick copper? Because copper doesn't absorb. Rashi. Drunk Rashi. Now, I just want to point out, Rashi says it's Misa. The Shaita is not getting Misa. It's part of the mitzvah. But we don't set up a Shaita to do something that would be Chayiv.
Only for Kohan that we're looking at a family that has wants to eat.
The Shaita will not eat the Tahar
HaKadosh. They can't use the
Shaita
if
they want to? They could, but there wouldn't be that reason. And again, if they want to do it, they can do it. Ryan I say, Linya Mechatas Kamar, Lutame Bamasa. Remember we had that if you, that was one of the Chedushim, that if you carry Mechatas, the amount of the Shir Hazah, you become Tameh? Did we have it here? Or did I have it in, no, because I never know where I have things. I have it somewhere, yeah? Dabina had the Doric Shir Azor, he has to carry Shir Azor because I'm a Per Kaba, right? I said it before. Kami Yabamai, Yabeng Azor. How much water enough to be Azor? The Shiitvo Rosh and Gibulim to dip in the tips of the Azov, the Azor, climb into spring, climb into Shahid, Bahem Kadeva Hazars, the Vad Masha Azor Balea, besides the absorption. Yudah Amish on the Chayshis, Almish on the Chayshis, Leibala. The copper doesn't. Okay, Zakti Gemara Vayter, and I'm going to get it, say it one more time. This is not a halachas here. I will mention different opinions, and I will leave it at there. And if anybody wants to research the halacha, as I mentioned, it is in Eved Ezer Simon Yud Gimel, Chav Gimel, and anybody can go look it up and learn halacha there, and learn the Archa Shokhan, and learn all the paiskim that talk about it, and I am not paskin halacha. Zakti Gemara Amar Papa Shmaminam Michnasariya Masurim. Underwear is asur. Because underwear warms the body and causes carry. Fekti Gemara Bakshiv, Vasela, Mikhnas Evad, Bakhasas Sarerba. It says, make Mikhnas Evad to cover the erba. Kahanim wore Mikhnas E. So why is Mikhnasayim Usr? By the way, it would be any pants. The Gemara is saying Mikhnasayim pants. I mean, they used to wear a long robe, but no pants. Because pants cover the erba and warm up the erva and causes carry. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Kahanim war mechnasayim. Right? And for the Gemara, right?
Why bring this down here?
Because we just said warms up, the kiss warms up, the thing of leather around, the pouch around, the male organ can warm it up and cause carry.
I mean, yesterday's the day before that, is touching meaning that.
But it's not touching. This is, we just saw that Rabbi Lazar Ben Tzadik said that a kishalar is a problem. So Rabbi Papa is building on that and says one should not wear pants. And for the Gemara, Ahuka Titania, Michnes Echshad Lamahi Diamond, what did Michnes Echahanim look like? Kimin Pamalja Shoprashim, I don't know what the word Pamalja means. It is a kind of apron of people that rode horses.
Knee breeches?
Okay.
Another word
from you. Of riders. Lamaila ad Masnayim. It started at the midpoint of the loins. And Lamata ad Yerachayim, it went down to the thighs. V'yeshlem shnatzim, and it had straps.
Cross
things. Which means it was a loose beged that they tied loosely around their body. So there was no tightness. And since there was no tightness, there was no chimum. And therefore, that was mutter. Rashi has two pshatim. One pshat is they did not have a tightness anywhere around the erva or around the rectum. There was no tightness to it. It was loose all around. That's Rashi's first shot. Rashi has a second shot. We'll see it when we get there. But means it was not tight. It was very loose. And therefore, that's mutter. So those kinds of pants are mutter. The other kind of pants, with Nesayim, that are not loose, the Papa said are usher. The mitzvah are able to speak out two or three things, but this is not in any way intended for anybody to walk away with any halachic discussion. The mitzvah says, a noigin chain. They don't noig this isser. He says, he doesn't know why, but they're not noig. That's the words of the mitzvah. The Ramah wants to tell you that perhaps this was only said when they ate truma. This fear of anything warming up the body was a truma fear. But Mizmana said, if there's no truma, maybe it's not negaya. But then the Ramah changes his mind, he says, but the Rush Paskin said. So the Rush Paskin said, how can I say that it was only for truma? The Rush wouldn't Paskin anything that's only for truma. So the Ramah leaves it at that point, and at that point, anybody can look up the law for themselves and take it from there.
I'm sorry,
Rush Paskin. That and since he's passing through the Sayyid, he can't say. Ramah wants to offer that the reason it's not negated today is because they only did it for Truma. But then he says then the Rush wouldn't bring it. So therefore he retracts. And we leave it at that. Anybody wants to look up the halacha Levaisa, there are people, and I'm only throwing this out, and I'm not going to ask no more questions, but that wear certain boxer shorts that are not tight around the body. They wear bedafka because of this chumrah. Again, I'm not paskening, I'm not saying what's usher, what's mutter, but that's why there are people that are machmer to wear boxer shorts. It's a chumrah because of this halacha, because the Gemara said loose is mutter, tight is usher. Again, not paskening, no halacha, look up Chav Gimel, but that's where the source of wearing boxer shorts comes from, because it's loose around the body. Again, we'll leave it at that. Yes?
Tightness is on top of the strap, you know, the...
Again, I'm not here to...
No, what I'm saying is the rest of it is not as...
Again, the boxer shorts also have elastic on the strap. They don't fall down. But the rest of it's loose. They're not... Again, I'm not here. I'm no way in faction form trying to tell people I welcome.
Never hear
Again, I was very careful in how I worded it. I'm still sticking to my carefulness. Not here to Paskin. I know people that are makpid to wear boxer shorts because of this thing. Now look, I'm not Paskining. I'm leaving everybody to learn Simcha of Gimel or to contact their local Orthodox rabbi. End of story.
You're talking about Kohanim Kutchim.
Again.
Kutchim and Yisrael, they're the same
thing.
The problem, of course, is that all...
No, but the pants are loose. Today's pants are like the Mikhnasayim. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody asked that. Because that's the case of Mikhnasayvad. Loose. Loose is not a question. Our pants are loose. I mean, there are people that wear tight pants. I'm not getting involved in that. I'm talking about regular, the pants I'm wearing, and I see everybody here wearing, is loose pants. Loose pants is not a Shiloh. What? Can't hear you.
Smaller underwears, the briefs, they're called.
Right. That, again, I'm not in any way, fashion, or form talking halacha. We'll leave that. I said that at the beginning of the, when I started it, and this is, I think, the last case that I have to say it, and then we'll move on from here. Dr. Rashi, Shmamina, Midik Tani, Coach Genshata Mavili de Shimon, Alma Miknasai, Masurim, Pantsarasa, Hamalia, Pamanya, Sinurta, apron, halola kalamata, the opening is hangs downward, berechav wide, so he's not there by every b'chashamim, doesn't surround the male organ at all, it just hangs. So prushim tsnuim, lishnachrina, prushim. Some are gyrus prushim, which means tsnuim, the people that are machmer, and some are gyrus prushim riders. Snatsim case, lonu, straps like we have, Rashi says. Be'elam le'beis, anekim le'beis erva, klaim halola rochav. It's wide, the total of matter hands down. There is no pouch in between the thighs, that surrounds the male organ. So Some of them are tight around the rectum. Katavnis adam, like a person's form. What's wrong with that? It goes in his rectum. It gets dirty. The big dick. We don't want big dick kahuna getting dirty from the rectum. Lishnachwina, based on Nekab and Beta Erva, Darkamay Lazas, the covenant of Nasayim, Kenegab, Beta Erva, Lahashnamayim. Normal pants have a hole that people can urinate. Chutz, Darksham, Bechain, Kenegab, Beta Ray, they used to have an opening in the back. That they didn't have to take their pants off to go to the bathroom. They opened that opening. The big day Kuna didn't have those openings. Ushagayim, Rekaisha, and Nekab, and two of us, they used to tie it afterwards. Darkamay Baita. You think what Beis HaNekev and Beis HaRei are? That's all.
So who were those?
Other people. No, they didn't. He's talking about Kahanim. They didn't have Beis HaNekev and Beis HaRei.
Wow.
That's all he said. So he said, what was Beis HaNekev and Beis HaRei? What did other people have that they didn't have? Dr. Gemara writes, Amar Abaya, Reich Veir Gemalim Asurim Lecho B'Tshuma. Now, people that rode camels used to ride it without saddles. And therefore, the halacha is, riding an animal without a saddle, it causes chimum, and can cause a tzara zera, and therefore they can't eat truma. So Trashi, again, no question, so I finish this piece of Gemara. Reich Rei Gemalim, the Trashi, of a reya mischamim in the basar agamol, their organ gets heated up from the meat, flesh of the gamol, or metzia zera. Tanya nami hachi, Reich Rei Gemalim, kulam rishoyim. They're all Rishon, because they're mighty Zera many times. So Trashi Kedamar. Hasafonim, sailors, Kulam Tadikim. They live in danger all the time. Sailors are all the time in danger. They're underwater, they're at the mercy of the Rabbi Nishlaim. We all are, but they know they're at the mercy of the Rabbi Nishlaim, and therefore, they're constantly doing tshuva. They're constantly davening, because they know that one storm comes, and they are history, right? So therefore, they're kulam tzadikim. Chamarim, the donkey drivers, mehen rishayim, mehen tzadikim. How? Ikedi ami hada makav adloy makav. Those who have a saddle are tzadikim. They have a hard surface. Hard surfaces doesn't cause chimum. And the ones that are not wearing saddles, they're driving without a saddle, that's usher, because it's chimum, so they're rishayim. Vigadami, hadamitartan. They ride side saddle, or they don't ride side saddle. I think it means keeping their feet apart. Those who ride side saddle are rishayim tzadikim. They're not, this is without a saddle, right? And those who ride not side saddle, regular, without a saddle, are rishayim. Frektigamar, brishrashi. Zokrashi, Rishayim Kedamra, Kulam Tzadikim, Shadorim Sakana. They live in constant danger. The Libam Bavim Shabashamayim, and they're always connected to the Rabbi Nishloim. The Makiv Lashin Ukav Shochamar, it's a saddle. Yeshlo Ukav, or Avrainim Eschamim. So Eitz Kashu. Saddle used to be made out of wood. And even if it's made out of hard leather, it's the same thing. Vim Eilu Ukav, Mischamim Bebasar Hamar. Avuderach Hagmalim, Lirka Belo Ukav. Donkeys were ridden both ways. Camels were always without saddles. This is how people did it. You know what I mean? I don't know why. But Madas is a soft material, like a towel or something like that. Umischamim. The Matartan, Yerach Mikan, the Yerach Mikan, Vevore Mischamim, and his male organ gets heated up. The Loy Matartan, Reichiv Keisha, side saddle, which is the way women used to ride once upon a time. But, Metartin, Lashim Mesnayim, Kedamina Bemenachas, Vichiturtin Yachnis. It's like a scale. Scale has both sides. So riding it like a scale means a foot on each side of the thing. Interestingly enough, so Gnarach Paskas this, and again, we're not learning halacha, so I'm going to talk about something that's not mentioned in this Gemara. The Gnarach never says that a woman has to ride side saddle. It was derech of women to ride side saddle. They didn't want to split their feet because they wouldn't be tzniyistic. But in Shulchan Aruch, it's not paskin. So a woman who calls me up and says, I'd like to take a horse ride, it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch it's usher. Is it recommended? No, for a number of reasons. If it's a girl, she might lose her psulim on the way because of the rocky ride, but that has nothing to do with a saddle or not a saddle. And It's also pisik reglayim. She's keeping her feet apart. It's hard to be tzniyas thinking that way. Theoretically, the girls, when they ask the shayla, they say, "Oh, we'll wear something over to cover the thing." So, but Shulchan doesn't say it's usher. I used to think it's usher, but there's no such a menorah. There's no halacha. By men, it talks about it because the kibum. That it talks about you need a saddle, but we should not ride without a saddle. But it doesn't talk about it by women, even though Rashi says Kizarah Hanashim, that he said that used to ride. They used to ride that way, but you can't say that it's analogically us or the other way. I'm just mentioning that as an aside. Yes, you had a question?
Rashi answered the question I had originally.
That's good. That's what Rashi's for.
And the second thing is, this whole thing talks about eating trumor, eyebrow cuts. But a person shouldn't wear tight pants or shouldn't use a leather saddle or whatever saddle anytime because it could be.
Are you paskening?
No,
are you asking?
Asking why,
so I said, see.
I'm not asking for a psak. I'm asking why it's only talking about these cases rather than general cases.
Because the Gemara is dealing now with checking for truma and kachim. That's the sugya here.
And so now we can learn out.
I'm not, again, see, simon kov gimel. I'm being very, 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 very careful. Right.
What the side saddle means?
Sitting with both sides on the same side of the horse.
Yeah,
exactly. That side saddle.
Why is reputations about, are you, then you said side saddle, then you said something about, are the legs separated?
That's not side saddle. Anybody that sits on a horse has one leg on one side?
Right.
Okay. And one leg on the other side?
Right.
Okay.
That's contrast to the side saddle.
Exactly. Side saddle means the feet are not separated. They're right next to each other on one side of the saddle.
The earliest image of someone riding side saddle in Europe is in the 12th century. Actually, Rashi.
Something about that. You know, it's interesting. I don't have time. I'll just mention it quickly. Rashi, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who brings this down, Rashi, I used to be the spoil from this story, but then Reb Chaim Kanevsky came along and he took away the spoilers. Rashi was in Parshas Tetzava, next week's Parsha, writes, what is the ephod? Like the princesses wear when they ride horses. So Rabbeinu Tam says, why did my grandfather write? Like, who cares what the French princesses wear? Like, why is he putting that into Rashi? He said, because Rashi didn't understand the ephod. And all of a sudden, he heard a tumult outside his window. He ran to look what's happening, and he saw French princesses riding by on horses. And it bothered him that in the middle of learning, he went to look at the French princesses. So he chapped. The Rabbeinu Shlom was sending him those French princesses so he should know what the ephod looked like. So he says, the this is the Rashi. So I was always misspelled that the Rabbeinu Shlom sent Rashi French princesses. But then Reb Chaim Kanevsky came along, and he needed to know the grasshopper, and there it was on his windowsill. So I guess the Rabbeinu Shlom did it for Reb Chaim Kanevsky 800 years or 900 years after Rashi. So, you know, it's take away. You know. So at the Levaya, Rabbi Yitzchak Zubish, they said over, Azvevi di Rishaynim. Like the Rishaynim, but they say that about Rashi. Yes?
I do not understand Rabbeinu Tam's question because Rashi HaKadosh brings down laws all the time. So what's the difference between French princes?
Okay, again, I'm just telling you what he says. You can ask the it's a story, but it's in the Sefer. Rabbeinu Tam wrote it. Fighter. Rabbi Shulman Levi liet a man the gari aparkin. He used to curse people that sleep on their back. Now, Rashi's going to say why, and there's other Rishayim that say more, other reasons, but let's first go back to Baini. But I'm Rabbi Yisrael Pragnali Yikra Krishma. Lying on your back shouldn't read Krishma. Krishma is Lo Yikra. Hamignish Aperdami. Says don't read Krishma, but doesn't say you can't lay that way. So the Gemara, sleep that way, I should say. So the Gemara Kadinya Migna Kimatsli Shapra Dummy. When you're slightly on your side, when you're on your side, it's no problem. And you're Kriyashma Kimatsli Usher. You shouldn't read Kriyashma laying on your side. You should be sitting up for Kriyashma. It's covered up Kriyashma. Fracta Gemara Rabbi Yechida Matzli Vagari. Matzli means slightly on the side. Matzli doesn't mean totally on the side. It means a little bit on the side, a little bit on the back. So it's mutter to sleep that way, but not to read Kriya Shema. I Rabbi Yechida did. Shiny Rabbi Yechida Balbasar Havi was very heavy. He couldn't turn completely to the side. He could only turn slightly to the side, and it was hard for him to get up. So therefore, he was able to read Kriya Shema that way. Rashi. Again.
No, I'm sorry.
It was my mistake. Okay, I'll say it one more time. That was my mistake. Matzli doesn't mean totally on the side. It means slightly on the side. A person should not read Kriya Shema slightly on the side. Now, Loch is brought that even totally on the side, a person should only do when it's hard for him to get up. That a side issue. The Gemara is not talking about totally on the side. Totally on the side, the Gemara says, is mutter. Slightly on the side is only mutter if a person's heavy. Now, the halacha does say that in respect of Kriya Shema, it's better not to be laying down when you say Kriya Shema. But let's say a guy's already in bed and it's hard for him to get up. He can be on his side and read Kriya Shema. That's what I meant. I should have spoken to that better.
Well, what's the reason? Because the
error is Klapi Shemayim? Oh, that's right. Something about Rashi. Rashi answers most of our questions. Rashi. You know, Beryl Wine says over in one of his tapes that when he was a kid, there was a guy who gave shiur in Chicago. The guy didn't know how to learn much. He knew how to read the Gemara and translate the Rashi. Whenever there was no Rashi in the Gemara, he was lost. So when he got to Gemara, there was no Rashi. He used to tell the people, Rashi didn't know Pshat either, so I'm not any better than Rashi. So he says in one of his tapes. Rashi. Duck Rashi, Pragdan, Aparkad, Panav Lamaila, his face facing upwards, Ignusu. So Rashi says two reasons. Number one is it's unseemly. There are times that the male organ gets an erection in the middle of his sleep. And it's revealed because he's lying straight on his back and they not necessarily were covered. His hands automatically lay flat down, might touch his male organ. Therefore, he should stay not on his back. And for sure not on his front, because that for sure will cause chimam. That's the Rishayim speak out. The Rashbam says, this is the Rashbam, not Rashi, he says that laying on the back can trigger Haitzah Zera from the back. The warming of the certain part of the back can trigger that. This is the Rashbam, but Rashi doesn't say that. We learn Rashi. Matzli, Maita Ma'at Al Tzidai, he goes slightly on his side. Ki Matzli Nami Asram, can Yashav? Rashi says either he's sitting or lays completely on his side, which is mutter. Fine. This is as far as we're going this week. This is as far as the test goes. And next week, we will continue on Monday morning, Sunday, Chazal. But one.